Muy buenos días a todos los que están conectados a través del satélite Amazonas y el satélite Eutelsat.
Good morning to everyone connected through the satellite Amazonas and through the satellite Eutelsat 8 and also through the internet and any means of communication. And also there in Valparaíso, Chile, where the missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín is. The congregation that is pastored by the Reverend Sergio Aguilar. Today, Friday, March 1st of this year, 2024, our subject is The Coming of the Son of Man with His Angels, preached on February 14th, 2014, in Cali, Colombia. Our brother William read to us there the scripture of Matthew chapter 24, verse 21 to 31, where he tells us, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. The coming of the Son of Man with his angels. You may please be seated. It tells us in the message, preparing ourselves to be adopted, which was preached on Sunday, January 19, 1997, here in Calle, Puerto Rico, our brother William tells us. Now notice that there is an order for the adoption of the sons and daughters of God. And everyone will be under the ministry of the angel of the Lord, the angel of the covenant, which is the same angel that appeared to Moses, the same angel that appeared to Abraham, the same angel that appeared to all the prophets of the Old Testament, and then became flesh in the person of Jesus. Now notice that this angel, in the time of Moses, when he appeared to Moses to deliver his people, which was oppressed, they were in bondage. And God had heard the cry, for they were crying out for their deliverance. In the book of Exodus, on chapter 3, it tells us, on verse 1 it says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and come to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, and he said, here I am. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now notice, he is identifying himself by that God, or with that God, that was manifested back in the time of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And on this occasion, he was going to manifest himself through Moses, because it is the same God changing his mask, that is God in morphe, but he's still the same God, the same one with the same program, with the same blueprint, with the same plan that he have had from the beginning, fulfilling his program in the midst of the human race, with that instrument in each age and in each dispensation, but it's still the same owner. It is like when you go to build a building, or let us say, to put it even simpler, a house. And one divides the construction by different contractors. And the people who pass by there, they first see the one who is moving the soil, some using some machines and other who is directing that. But then, after a while, he goes by, he sees another person in charge of some people who are building some foundations, and pouring concrete. Later on, he goes by and then he sees the house set up. But he sees other people working with another boss. They're installing windows. And then he passes by again and he sees another group with another person leading them. And they're painting. And then he passes by and see some electricians dealing with wires and lights and lamps, and someone else is leading them. Then they see, the person sees others who are placing the grass and the bushes, and all the decor, and everything related to gardening, and everything else, with someone else directing them. And also, if there is the one working with the fence, to finish, then the one working on the fence has another leader, another boss. Then the appliances, they also arrive in a truck, and those that are going to install them and everything, and with another boss. And one says, hey, but who is the owner? Who is the one that is directing everything? Notice, at the moment, you can see different leaders there, but there's only one owner. There's only one boss. That is the owner of the house, the one who has everything, the one who gave the blueprint of how he wanted it to the architect. Notice the Holy Spirit. And he works through all of them until that work is finished. But that construction had different phases, different stages. Although we know that the contractor, we can say that it is the Holy Spirit. And he have had different teachers in the different areas for that construction, so that you may more or less understand it in that way. Now notice that here this same one who appears to Moses, he says that he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then it says, and Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptian oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now, here God is telling Moses what he's going to do. And that cry, God then comes to carry out a work for a deliverance. And he takes that instrument, that veil of flesh, and carries out the work of deliverance of that people. He already had that plan in his program to deliver them. But it wasn't just delivering them. It was that he was going to put them in a land flowing with milk and honey. And then we see later on, for what Moses did, it cost him not to enter alive into the promised land. But that didn't mean that God's plan were going to end there. Well, it is finished. Moses did what he should not have done. Therefore, you shall not bring the people into the promised land. And seemingly there, it looks like if then the divine plan of that word that he said that he was going to bring them into the promised land came to an end. No. God followed his program, his plan. And then he already had the man ready there, and he still fulfilled his purpose for which he delivered them. In other words, it is still God's work being fulfilled, but with another instrument. But it was still the same God. And that is what some people do not understand, do not comprehend, how God has worked from age to age and from dispensation to dispensation. When God finishes with a messenger, that does not mean that the work only goes that far. The child of God watches, and then he sees that in past times when that happened, God raises up another instrument, another leader. Because it is the way in which God has fellowship with his people, with his children. It is through the way that they themselves communicate with each other. So he does with his children, not in any other way. It is in that way. So therefore, there he is telling them that he was going to deliver them. And then we see the work completed, finished. But we do not see Moses there. But wait a minute, what happened here? Moses is not here, now it's Joshua. But they are in the promised land. Because God fulfilled his word. He brought them into the promised land back then. Now, that is what our brother William is telling us here in what we are reading, which is that same angel that appeared to Moses, the same angel that appeared to Abraham, the same angel that appeared to all the prophets of the Old Testament, and then became flesh in the person of Jesus. We see him later on in human flesh in Jesus. That angel will be manifested in human flesh at the last day, in the angel messenger of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that term, angel messenger of the Lord Jesus Christ, notice how that made many people to believe in certain way, in which that veil is placed so that they cannot understand that that same angel is the one that was working in Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, in Columba, in Luther, in Wesley, because it's the same angel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Spirit. And when he mentioned there, angel of the Lord Jesus Christ, notice, for that time, since he is the character, he is the instrument where God is carrying out the work for the children of God at that time, where he was there being manifested. Well, everyone was focused. For example, in the time of Paul, well, they were focused in Paul. Paul was that angel. In other words, he was that instrument where God was operating in that portion pertaining for the first age. And does happen in each one of the ages. He is still the angel of the Lord. But in Revelation we see him saying, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify these things in the churches. But it has been the same angel. What happens is that there he places him, sending him for that time, where he would be showing the things that would be, the things that were going to happen at the last day. But that scripture has multiple fulfillments. Because notice that that same angel who was manifested in Paul, Irenaeus, in Martin, Columba, Luther, and Brother Branham. We see him in the vision of the great tent cathedral, who is carrying out there and fulfilling there the second coming of the Lord. But we saw him in all the messengers, and we saw him carrying out a great work through the ministry of the Reverend William Branham. But the fulfillment of the coming of the Lord with the ministries of Moses and Elijah had not yet been fulfilled, because that would pertain to the end time, where the church would have a great tent cathedral, and where God would be operating there the ministries of Moses and Elijah to give the rapturing faith to all the elect of God, who were already in that stage, where what they were missing was the rapturing faith. That is, what they were missing was to receive the revelation of the seventh seal, the revelation of that angel who was different from the rest. Now notice what he continues saying here. And through that angel messenger of the Lord Jesus Christ, of that last prophet, because he is the Benjamin of the prophets, that is, the last of the prophets, through that prophet messenger, the angel of the covenant, who is Jesus Christ in Holy Spirit, he will be fulfilling every promise that he made for his church for the last day. He will be fulfilling all prophecies pertaining to the last day, because every promise, every scripture must be fulfilled in the coming of that angel, who is very different from the seven angel messengers of the seven ages of the Gentile church. On page 95, on the Book of Quotations, paragraph 825, it tells us, trumpet always denotes war. The messenger, the angel, come on earth. The messenger of the hour, like Luther's. In other words, the messenger of the hour in the time of Luther. Well, the messenger had to appear in that age. Who was Luther? In the time of Wesley. Well, the messenger of that time had to appear. Who was Wesley? And so on. Like any of the messengers that we've talked of. What does he do? He arrives. And a seal opened. Revealed. A trumpet sound. War declared. And away they go. And then the messenger dies. There he writes, the messenger dies, he writes Revelation 11. Because there he's already showing what would happen with that last messenger. He seals away this group. They're put in. And a plague falls upon those who rejected it. See? Then he goes on. Then they organize, get another organization. Here on this Book of Quotations, he writes, the angel opens the seal. And on the other Book of Quotations, right on that same excerpt, he writes, the seal is open when the message arrives. And he draws a Star of David. In other words, the seal is opened with the presence of that angel, that ministry there in that age, in the pertaining portion. He goes on to say, that is why when the seventh angel messenger of the seven ages of the Gentile church saw that angel messenger, he said that he was the one with the seventh seal, of which, in the Book of the Seals, it tells us he is the one with the seventh seal. And he says, which I have wondered, or I've wondered all my life. Them others, let us see. On page 546, on the Book of the Seals, it says, and did you notice that one angel I said in there was a strange angel? He looked more to me than any of the rest of them. You remember that? They were in a constellation, three on a side and one on top. And the one right next to me here, counting from the left to the right, would have been the seventh angel. He was brighter, meant more to me than the rest of them. You remember? I said, he had his chest out, like that, and was flying eastward. You remember? Like that. And I said, he picked me up, lift me up. You remember that? Here it is, the one with the seventh seal. The thing that I've wondered all my life. Amen. Them other seals meant a lot to me, of course, but oh, you don't know what this has meant. Now notice that this angel is the one that has the seventh seal. And there he tells us, the seal is opened when the message arrives. In other words, and in the other writing he says, the angel opens the seal. In other words, with the appearance of the angel in each age, that seal is open. And that is how it is with the seventh seal, which he told us that that mystery would be open in the great tenth cathedral. Therefore, that angel who was different from the rest must be manifested in that great tenth cathedral so that with his coming, he opens the seventh seal. And he goes on to say there, in other words, through the manifestation in human flesh of that angel messenger, the seventh seal would be fulfilled. That is, the second coming of Christ. And the work of Christ would be carried out, which was promised for the last day, as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, as King of kings and Lord of lords, for the adoption of all the sons and daughters of God. In other words, with the appearance of that angel who was different from the rest at this end time, he would come, manifest himself as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, not as a lamb. While he was in the ages, while he was in the time of that powerful archangel in the midst of the church, he was as a lamb. Because he said, well, you can still see him there in history, that the altar calls were still made for the people who come to receive the Lord. They were baptized in water. We had baptisms, we had Holy Supper, washing of feet, which pertained to a work as a lamb, a work in a dispensation of grace. And for the coming of this mighty angel, the people had to be prepared, that is, in position and complete, because he says that he was there making intercession for the very last one. And when that last one entered, then he was going to make that change from lamb to lion. Therefore, to carry out that claiming work, the people had to be complete. And the people had to have entered through that door in his first coming. And in order to receive the glorified body, just as we received the theophanic body from the sixth dimension, we enter through the door of the first coming of the Lord. In order to receive the glorified body, we are required to enter through the door of the second coming of the Lord, who would come as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Notice, everything runs parallel. With the coming of this angel, in the midst of the church, the mystery of the second coming of the Lord would be opened. Now notice, what for? He says, for the adoption of all the sons and daughters of God. On page 98, on this book of quotations, paragraph 855, he tells us, all the hosts of heaven was silent for this half hour, when this seventh seal mystery in the book of redemption was broke open. Think of it. But it's broke. The lamb breaks it. You know what? They were awed by it, I believe. And there he writes, the half hour of silence. And he also writes in this other book, the half hour of silence in the coming of the Lord, or opening of the seventh seal. And he told us that still in that year 2009, notice there he told us, that half hour of silence has not yet been fulfilled. That is, in the manifestation of that angel who was different from the rest, the half hour of silence was not there yet, because the half hour of silence would be carried out with that ministry in the midst of the church in a new dispensation, the dispensation of the kingdom, where his coming would be fulfilled and where he would be as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, as King of kings and Lord of lords, who would come as a thief in the night. In other words, the world would not know what was happening and what is happening, and only the elect of God would understand that mystery, because he is coming for them. But if you're waiting in a certain place, and you're waiting for someone to pick you up. And you have someone next to you saying, look, he's coming like this, he's coming like that, he's coming this way, he's coming that way. But one says, but hey, if this one who's telling me all those things, it seems like he's the one who is going to take me. Why is he talking to me like that? Well, he is the one who is preparing me so I can go to the marriage supper of the Lamb with all this that he's telling me. And he's telling me to be alert, to be prepared. And all those things. And all of a sudden, he's not there. But wait. But I understood, sort of, that he was going to take me to the place where I was going. And I'm here ready. I'm missing a few details, but, well, let's see what he told me. He will come like this, will come like this, and will come like this. And when someone comes and honks his horn, that meets the requirements. He will pick you in such a vehicle, in such a way, a person like this and like this is going to come out of the car. And he's already identifying him by the scriptures. Hey, but this one looks exactly like he told me he would. Although, he seems like someone that I know. And he gets closer. Wait a minute, it was him. I did not know you were the one that God sent to pick me up. It was you. Now notice, in that way like that, as we say it so simple, in the common way, that is what God is doing today. And notice that when it says, as a thief in the night, that is because he will be fully fulfilling that work in the way in which no one could imagine how it would be. Why do I say no one? Because it was not written. Brother Branham told nothing of it. The angel told him, you will say nothing of this. So no one can say that they knew how it was, because no one knew anything, because it was a complete mystery. And it was something that was in God's mind. It was something that he had there as a secret. It was something that he had hidden. But when he would begin to work in the midst of his church through that instrument, the elect would realize it. Because by having the prophetic insight, there is when it is open and it is allowed by God for those elect to know that mystery. When Jesus said, no one knows the Son but the Father, that is in Matthew, around Matthew 11, let us see. 11:27 says, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Now notice that he allows, as he allowed back then, Billy Paul to see the angel. And it was with Brother Branham's permission. Notice, a pillow was placed on his face. In other words, he had a veil. And with the angel's permission, yes, he can see me. Now notice how something very important is being fulfilled there, because not everyone will see the fulfillment of the second coming of the Lord. And not everyone. Notice, the younger brother of Brother Branham was there, Donnie. And he said to him, "Can I wake up Donnie?" In other words, can I tell him, "Look, so you can see the angel?" He told him, "No." Now notice that no matter how much the person seeks and strives to see or understand or receive or believe, if his eyes are not open, if he is not allowed by that angel for that person to have his eyes open, there is no one on earth who can open the spiritual eyes to that person. He will stay blind. He will never see the fulfillment. But to those to whom the blessing is given and the authority is given to the Holy Spirit through that instrument to open that person's eyes, there is no way to prevent that person from seeing him. They can tell him many things. They can tell him many things against his belief. That elect will stand firm because he has seen the angel, and he stays with him until he transforms him. He will take a hold of him and will not let him go, because he already found him, he already saw him. Notice the way how God showed there in that place, in that room, what at this time would be happening in the world, where there could be, he said it on one occasion, there will be two on a bed, one will be taken and the other one left. That is, he places it in that way, like that. Because notice, they may be in the same congregation, and some can see and others cannot. And those who cannot see, instead of praying, then they go and criticize, to blaspheme, and to say that that cannot be so, because they are not ordained to receive the blessings under that new dispensation that has begun. Now notice, our brother William continues to say here, because that is what the coming of Christ is for, to sound the last trumpet, that is, the message of the gospel of the kingdom, and to reveal his coming at the last day, and to prepare us for the transformation of our bodies, we who are alive, and for the resurrection of the dead in Christ. That is the reason for the coming of the angel with the seventh seal, who appeared there in that constellation of eight angels in 1963 in the heavens or the skies. And in the message, the mystery of the Word of God, full in due season, preached on September 15, 1997 in Honduras, our brother William tells us, without the coming in human flesh of this angel who was different from the rest, there is no seventh seal opened. Now, notice how plainly, clearly, he was speaking about this mystery there, but at the same time, how hidden was at that time. Because since the coming of that angel was not being manifested, well, by not being manifested and fulfilling that ministry there in that instrument, well, that seal was not open. It was sealed. And he says, there is no seventh seal open. There is no fulfillment of the seventh seal. And therefore, there is no second coming of Christ. Because that angel is the angel that fulfills the second coming of the Lord. And as we read in yesterday's message, notice that he still said at that time, the coming of that mighty angel has not yet been fulfilled. The second coming of the Lord has not yet been fulfilled. Why did he say that? Because that angel operating that ministry in that instrument was not manifested yet. In other words, he had to wait until he was born, grow up, so that God at a certain moment, as it happened with Jesus, notice, he had his ministry in his adulthood. In other words, he was born, he had to be born, he had to grow up. And when he reached the stage where he was going to fulfill the messianic cycle, that messianic time, then notice when those stages in his ministry began, he was baptized and all those things. And the messianic ministry of the first part of the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy began. Now, he told us repeatedly that in the Great Ten Cathedral was where the rapturing faith would be taken place, which would be preached to the people. In other words, God would be opening the mystery of the seventh seal. And logically, if the mystery of the second coming of the Lord would be opened in a Great Ten Cathedral, and the mystery of the new name would be open, and all those things, well, that angel has to be in the midst of the church to fulfill that seventh seal, therefore to fulfill the second coming of the Lord. And in that message of the anointed ones at the end time, where at the end they placed a message, a few pages of the vision of the Great Tenth Cathedral, where he wrote that the ministry that was operating there was the ministry of the second coming of the Lord. Let us see if we can find it here. It says, that is, in that message of the anointed ones at the end time, those last pages placed there, starting from 56, those pages are the ones, and it is all detailed there. He is speaking about the tenth vision. And when Brother Branham says there, then the angel of the Lord and I descended into the little room. What he said to me there, I will have to keep it a secret the rest of my life. And there are Brother William in that portion there, he writes, it's the ministry of the Lord in his second coming. If it is the ministry of the Lord in his second coming, God always operates a ministry in a veil of flesh that is alive. Because when they come in the resurrection, in the resurrection, they return in eternal and glorified bodies. And it is in a stage to carry out a work that is different from the works that are carried out in these earthly bodies. It is already another phase of the divine program. But while we are in these earthly bodies, God continues to work as He worked in every moment at each time, through an instrument, through a veil of flesh. Now, he goes on to say here, and therefore there is no second coming of Christ, and there can't be no rapturing faith, and there can't be no transformation. Let us read this paragraph and sentence again to get the full context. Without the coming in human flesh of this angel who was very different from the rest, there is no seventh seal open. There is no fulfillment of the seventh seal. And therefore, there is no second coming of Christ, so there can be no rapturing faith. And there can be no transformation nor resurrection nor rapture for the elect. Because the rapturing faith is brought forth by the seven thunders of Revelation 10. And they reveal the seventh seal. What does the seven thunders of Revelation chapter 10 brings forth? The rapturing faith. And what is made known with it? The mystery of the seventh seal. The mystery of the coming of the Son of Man with His angels. In the Book of the Seals, on page 123, there it tells us. 123, it says. And I believe that through those seven thunders will be revealed in the last days in order to get the bride together for rapturing faith. Notice, what brings the rapturing faith? The thunders. Because what we got right now, we wouldn't be able to do it. There is something. We've got to step further. We can't have enough faith for divine healing, hardly. we've got to have enough faith to be changed in a moment and be swept up out of this earth. And we'll find that after a while, the Lord willing, find where it's written. Now notice that it is with the coming of this angel that that seventh seal is opened and the thunders are proclaimed. And through that preaching, the mystery of his coming is made known to the church. Notice in the message, the works of the seventh seal, preached on May 4, 1998 in Catemaco, Veracruz, Mexico, our brother William tells us, therefore, the works of the seventh seal testify where the seventh seal is being fulfilled at the last day, where the angel with the seventh seal is manifested at the last day. The works that will be done through that instrument, where the seventh seal is going to be, will be identifying him as the veil of flesh, where the seventh seal, the angel who was different from the rest, is manifested at this last day, because he will be doing the things he promised that he would do at this last day, each one in its due time. Now notice something very important here. In the time of David, when on the Psalms he spoke and said, they pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. Chapter 22. Verse 16, notice, look, it says, for dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hand and my feet, I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me, they part my garments among them, and cast lots upon my vesture. Wasn't that the same thing that happened to Jesus? Now notice what Peter tells us, the Apostle Peter, about the sufferings of Christ, where he says that those prophets, let us see here, First Peter, chapter 1, verse 10 and on says, of which salvation the prophet have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them, what was in them the Spirit of Christ, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Notice, David back then, he merged with those sufferings so and so that he lived them. In other words, he got into that character and acted as if it was Christ himself who was going through that situation. In other words, he was carrying out that character. And, in other words, he was, let's say, acting as a double. It is like when you're going to perform a play in a theater of a play. And in schools, they used to have a lot of those theaters, different plays. For example, if it was the play of Superman, well, a little boy would appear there with Superman's cape, putting it like that for the children. And he would perform the play of Superman. We're talking about these terms like that, but let us make it more real now. Because those are cartoons and things like that. But let us make it as a performance like Mel Gibson's. For example, he made the movie The Passion of the Christ. For example, you can see how he got into that character so and so much, in which he lived that character so much that one could see, and one was able even to see a little bit of it. Many of us did not have to see that to know the sufferings that he went through there and on those days. But notice, when a movie like that is made, then we can see all the details that God allows the world to be able to understand and portray in a performance like that. But whosoever saw that movie wept, because he got into that character. He lived it. He says on one occasion that God left part of his sufferings for us. For if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. Now notice that each messenger of the Old Testament, at the time in which they were given to live, they were getting into that character. And they were carrying out that work of redemption on Calvary's cross. And they reflected what those sufferings would be through which the Messiah would go through in his first coming. Now, what about the second coming? Same thing as well. Each one. Look, for example, our brother Branham. Was not our brother Branham there in Cairo to go to the Jews and show the signs of a prophet? But notice, he had the Spirit of Christ in him, because he says in the book of Quotations, the Elijah, or this time, is the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the one that operates the ministries. And he had that desire, that love for that people. Of course he had that love for that people. Just like with the bride of his time. Of the group of his time. And he desired that his group would receive that promise of transformation while they were alive. And God is going to grant that to Brother Branham. There will be a group that will believe, that will see the fulfillment of the coming of that angel who was different from the rest, and they will be transformed. Now notice, he showed with that it wasn't him, it was not the ministry. It had to be according to Revelation 11. Now what happened then? God takes him away, and everybody at that time. But notice, now everybody looks at the history. Many years have already elapsed. And now anybody sees and say, oh, of course, yeah, he's the forerunner. God could not fulfill that in him. Those who are more advanced, because there are others that are still thinking that he's going to return back. But notice, now the same thing happens, and there are some who are saying, no, he has to return. Our brother William has to come back to fulfill what is yet to be fulfilled, and give us the rapture in faith to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. He went through the same process that the messengers went through. Notice, he brought us the good tidings, but at the end, he realized that he came to bring those good tidings, and he had to give them all, but he was speaking and bringing his message, focusing everything on being him. But at the end, he himself speaks it to the extent that he is allowed to say it. In a certain way, he said it. So that with the coming of that mighty angel, with the coming of that angel who was different from the rest, to take all those good tidings, all those news, and put that puzzle together. And with his presence in human flesh, the people would understand and comprehend everything that was brought, to see it then fulfilled, that is, in fulfillment, in the midst of the church. He says, there in those last days, in that year 2016, that he has been sent from the presence of God to bring this news. There he is already identifying himself more clearly who he was and what he brought to the church, and that once he gave all of that, he had to leave. But what about the resurrection and the rapture? Well, that was the stage where that change of dispensation would be taking place, where God would be bringing his church that title deed, and he would be giving her through that ministry in a new age and in a new dispensation, the rapturing faith. Now, look at something very important here that he continues telling us here in this same message, the works of the seventh seal, he says. In other words, you cannot rush him. That is, hurry him. No, this is what we want to see. That is, the miracles. Perhaps what some wants to see is for the end. And they want to see the end without seeing the beginning. No, that I want to see the great miracles. I want to see the great physical miracles. And there is where in the book of quotations tells us in a portion there on page 50 where it tells us, paragraph 436, it says, don't you see how it is, the people today, how they are? Great, something's going to shake the whole world and everything. That's unscriptural, no sir. The next thing in order is the going of the church. Read in the church ages, these other things that's to take place is during the time of the wedding ceremony when the church is in glory. God returns back with great wonders to perform, international miracles and things by the Jews. Don't go to the church at all. And he writes, Moses and Elijah and the miracles. Now, look at what he says here. He continues to say, just wait until the squeeze comes. Sit somewhere else if you do not want to see what comes before that time. In other words, if you do not want to see what God is carrying out in the midst of his church before that you're waiting for, which are miracles and wonders, then sit in a corner or leave, as many have already left, because they want to see the end, and what has to happen before the end has not happened yet. It is the rapturing faith, which God is fulfilling in this end time. This is the time of that which is taking place, that which was said to take place before those international miracles and wonders for the Jews, as Brother Branham says. He goes on to say, but it is good for you to see what comes first, because what comes first prepares you for what comes afterwards. Because when that full manifestation of great wonders and physical miracles comes, God will have already done great spiritual miracles and wonders, and he will have opened the eyes of the sons and daughters of God to the elect, and they will be seeing the coming of the angel who was different from the rest, veiled in human flesh in his angel messenger, and revealed through his angel messenger and they will be receiving the faith, the revelation, to be changed and raptured at the last day. Notice how simple is all of it. Now, it is like when you're in a theater, and we go back to the theater again, and a play is going on, and the person says, "Oh, but that's really boring. They're talking too much there. When does the action start?" I saw it in the trailers that there was a lot of action, and what I'm seeing now is talk, 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 talk. Let me go over there to a corner outside to buy popcorn and a soda while they finish talking. Because that, I don't need that. I came to see the movie, but I saw it, or the play, and I don't see any action there. I want to see the action. He leaves. He buys something over there and gets held up by two or three who also think the same way. They linger, talking about other things. When they come back, the people are standing up and leaving. But what happened here? The curtains are closed. They no longer see the play because it's over. But what happened? And they see the people with that revival. Now we're talking from this other side of the curtain. Because we have already seen on other occasions where one is the actor who is there on the stage and all those things. But now we are seeing it from another angle. And the people come out cheerful, laughing, happy, lively. "Hey, but why are you laughing?" "Oh boy, you missed the best part. You went outside, you got up, you left, and that's when the best part began. But explain it to me." It is just that you have to see the whole thing to be able to understand it. You cannot skip to the end now because you are not going to understand anything. Not a thing. You're lost. You'll be lost. And that will happen at this end time to those who have turned their back on the angel who was different from the rest, who is bringing the revelation of the seventh seal, the revelation of the second coming of the Lord. And they have gone outside. And when they see everything already fulfilled, is when they will be seeing many things in the midst of the church. Since they are believers in the message, they will say, "But wait a second, isn't there supposed to be a rapture? What happened here?" And remember, those are very short days. He appeared there for about 30 to 40 days. In other words, when the resurrection is taking place, it will be in a very short period of time. And all the movement that is going to take place, catastrophes on some places and all those things, and after those days are over, everything will be very but very difficult, and each day things will get worse for the human race, because the great tribulation is something very terrible. And they will say, "But wasn't there supposed to be a rapture? What am I doing here?" Well, you got up and left when the preaching to obtain the rapture in faith was taking place, and the rapture already happened. In the book of the seals, there's a place where he says that he will say, "That's already happened," or "That's already a thing of the past." In the book of the seals, on page 115, it says, "But now, those first three books is the first seven church ages." And then we find out in the fourth chapter of Revelation, John is caught up. See, we see the churches. There is not too much said about the church ages. There is where I think that people are going to be so surprised. They're applying the church way over into the tribulation to those things that to happen. And as I said Sunday, yesterday, the first thing you know, those tribulations will break in. And you wonder why was not the first coming was the rapture. And it'll be as it has been. It passed and you didn't know it, see? Now, there is not too much promise to that church, the Gentile church, the bride. There is another place where he says, and they will be told. But we will look it up later. Now notice how he is telling us here about that event. And he says, He continues saying here, let us read this paragraph again, where he says, just wait until the squeeze comes. Sit somewhere else if you do not want to see what comes before that time. But it is good for you to see what comes first, because what comes first prepares you for what comes afterwards. Because when that full manifestation of great physical miracles and wonders comes, God will have already done great spiritual miracles and wonders, and He will have opened the eyes of the sons and daughters of God, the elect, and they will be seeing the coming of the angel who was different from the rest, veiled in human flesh in His angel messenger, and revealed through His angel messenger. And they will be receiving the faith, the revelation to be changed and raptured at the last day. On page 114 on the Book of Quotations, paragraph 1008, it says, yeah, they will. They'll go right on just the same. But remember, all this time, Noah was in the ark. The bride is sealed in with Christ. The last member has been redeemed. The sixth seal has produced itself. The seventh seal brings him back to earth. The seventh seal brings the title deed. The seventh seal, which is the coming of that angel that was different from the rest, brings it to where? To the earth. To which group? To the group that is already sealed within the mystical body of Christ, within the church, bride of the Lord, as a spiritual temple. The seventh seal brings him back to earth. The Lamb come and took the book out of the right hand of him and sat down and claimed what he owned, what he had redeemed. That's right. It's always been that third pool. And he writes on top, the third pool. The seventh seal equals, he brings it to earth. And on the side he writes above, Moses and Elijah, Revelation 11, 15 to 19, 8, 1 to 5, 6, 12 to 17. 3 is perfection. The ministry come to its perfection when he reproduced Christ again in natural amongst human beings. And he writes there the third pool. And our brother William continues to say, the revelation to be changed and raptured at the last day is not the great miracles and wonders that will be performed during that stage of squeeze, but rather is the revelation of the seventh seal, that revelation being made known to the elect of God through the angel who was different from the rest, through his angel messenger, because the thunders, the voice of Christ, the thunders are what gives his church the faith, the revelation to be changed and raptured, of which on page 243, on the Book of the Seals, it tells us, the bride hasn't had a revival yet. See, there's been no revival there, no manifestation of God to steer the bride yet. See, we're looking for it now. It'll take those seven unknown thunders back there to wake her up again. Yep. He'll send it. He promised it. How will he send them? There in what we read, the seventh seal. That is, the fulfillment of the coming of that angel who was different from the rest. He brings it to earth. It says, the seventh seal, the third pool, seventh seal equals, he brings it to earth. Who brings to earth the revelation of the second coming of the Lord, which is proclaimed by the voices of the seven thunders? That angel who was different from the rest, and all of that in the fulfillment of the vision of the great tent cathedral, which today is in that stage of the elect of God receiving that faith to be transformed and raptured. And our brother William goes on to say there, where is the rapture in faith? In the seven thunders of Revelation chapter 10. Let us stand, and thus we leave with us our dear brother and friend in this subject, the coming of the Son of Man with his angels. Dr. William Soto Santiago.